In the first nocturne of Matins today for Passion Sunday, we're reading from the prophet Jeremias. And in there, God tells Jeremias, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee." And in the gospel, it says, "They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Passiontide begins today. All of the veiled crucifixes and statues, the absence of the Gloria in the Mass and the Gloria Patri in the Divine Office, the omission of Psalm 42 from the prayers at the foot of the altar, these are all signs of mourning by which the Church remembers the Passion of our Blessed Lord. The Church's one thought during these next 2 weeks will be of the Passion, and she so desires us, her children, to fill our minds and our hearts with this subject as well. Speaking on the subject of meditating or thinking, contemplating on the Passion, St. Bonaventure says, "He who desires to go on advancing from virtue to virtue and from grace to grace should meditate continually on the Passion of Jesus." The Church, during these next 2 weeks, will keep repeating to us over and over again the words, "If today you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts." But the voice of the Lord in these days will make itself heard through the Church's narration to us of the events of the Passion and the circumstances that led up to it. But above all, we must bear practical fruit in our daily lives from all of these thoughts on the Passion. We are meant not only to think and consider the events of the Passion, but to imitate Christ's behavior in his sufferings. During the last 4 weeks of Lent, you've perhaps noticed, if you've been following along with the Gospels of the day, that the enemies of Christ seem to be getting bolder and bolder in looking out for ways to ensnare our Lord. That leads us to today's gospel. The conversation, did you read it? The conversation taking place between our Lord and that great multitude of the Jews in today's gospel is essentially this. Our Lord, he foresees two arguments that the Jews will bring up against him, and so he begins the conversation rebutting them. Our Lord says, "I have shown you by my life that I am sinless, I am innocent, for you cannot point to a single incident in which I have turned away from the law of God." And then he goes on, "I have proven the truth of my teachings by many arguments, and also by supporting them by miracles. My life is innocent, my teaching is true. Why don't you believe me?" He goes on to say, "You don't believe me because you are not of God." The Jews, in response, they come up with an ad hominem attack against our Lord. That's always a sign of a lost argument. They say to him, "Ah, you're a Samaritan and you have a devil." Both of these things being an insult. They're here accusing Christ of doing what the Samaritans did, causing schism among the people. They say that he has a devil. And they say this for three reasons. Because they've already accused him of having cast out devils by means of devils. They accuse him of having a devil because, they say, our Lord is attempting to steal away God's glory for himself, just like Lucifer did. And thirdly, they say he has a devil because, in other words, they're trying to say, you are crazy. You act like a lunatic possessed by a devil. These are all terrible blasphemies that were hurled directly to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, true God and true man, as he stood in purpose, not feet away from him. But notice, if you continue reading in the gospel, how patient our Lord is in his response. He merely says, I do not have a devil. He does not return insult for insult, mockery for mockery. He simply states the fact. And this alone should make us marvel, and it should inspire us to imitate his example. St. John Chrysostom, speaking of this matter, said, when it was necessary to teach and to denounce their pride, our Lord was quite severe. But in bearing with those who reproached him, he exercises great gentleness in order to teach us to resent any wrongs done to God and to overlook the wrongs which are done to ourselves. Now, if God can be so patient with men who are right there in front of him, blaspheming him, then why cannot men show patience with God? We so often impatiently complain and murmur about his ways and the will of God shown by the events in our lives. And like the men in today's gospel, we stand up against God and go toe to toe with him, arguing that he doesn't understand. You don't know me well. All the while forgetting that it was God, not us, who brought an entire universe, both spiritual and physical, into being, and then ordered each part so perfectly that the tiniest part plays a significant role, and without that small molecule, the whole universe would be changed. We ought to show, then, greater patience with the ways of God, not even considering the secondary causes that he so often uses to accomplish his divine will. Because remember, ultimately, it is God who plans all things from eternity, and not a single event that takes place is accepted from God's providence, and it's always for our own good. Although a worldly-minded man might say that it was evil men that stole the young St. Patrick from his home and then put him into slavery in some foreign country, we know that that was only the secondary cause. We know that it was God, and the angels too, who had a finger in it in all of these events, guiding them and protecting him and leading him through all the hardships. St. Patrick was just 16 years old when some Irish raiding party kidnapped him, took him away from his family and his home, and far away into Ireland, where he was then put into slavery. He was pretty much kept in isolation, tending to the sheep on a lonely mountain, where there was no one to console him, no one to speak of his problems with, where he grew quite cold and hungry. A weak man would have certainly blamed God and then grown bitterly impatient in all of this suffering, complaining all the while why this had to be so. But for St. Patrick, this isolation and all of these sufferings only served to make him turn not away from, but to God. In those first 6 years in captivity, he says that he learned to pray, to turn to God in suffering. He says in his confessions that he prayed 100 times in the day and as many times in the night, oftentimes standing in icy cold water. And during this time, he developed such an intense interior life of prayer and sacrifice that he became a mystic. Now, during this time, the angels began assisting him. They would offer him moral support and help him to come to the realization that he should consecrate his life to the will of God. At the beginning, St. Patrick did not see the angels. He could only hear them. They would advise him and console him and teach him. And without them, poor Patrick, he would have been all alone. Still, even though he had the angels, he prayed constantly every day for 6 years to be freed so that he might go back home. His prayer was answered. An angel spoke to him in a dream one night and said to him, "Patrick, you have fasted well and soon will go to your own country." And not long after that, an angel showed him how to escape. It involved a lot of sacrifice. He had to walk 200 miles and then board a ship. And it was full of other dangers as well, but that angel saw him through everything safely. Now, when Patrick was back home for those 20 years, not much is known about what he did, but we do know he studied theology and he was ordained to the priesthood. And all during these 20 years at home, he dreamt of nothing but Ireland. He could think of nothing but the souls who would be lost in Ireland. And the angels, perhaps I think it was the guardian angels of the people, the pagan people in Ireland, the angels were often heard saying to St. Patrick, "We entreat thee to come back and walk once more among us." What would you have done? The Irish had violently kidnapped St. Patrick, enslaved him, treated him harshly, took away all of his dignity, and changed his life forever. And now? Now God wants him, expects him, to return to these ungrateful souls who had done him so much harm. What would you have done? But Christ, didn't he do the same? He came from heaven to earth to save an ungrateful world. So why should he not expect his servants to do the same? Patience with the ways of God and a supernatural charity is what drew St. Patrick's heart back to the people of Ireland. He returned and he dedicated the rest of his life on earth to converting the Irish. And all the while, angels assisted him. This time, he could see them. Whenever he said Mass or even read the Apocalypse of St. John, he would see the heavens opened up and our Lord surrounded by a great many angels. And 3 times every week, he was visited by an angel. The angel had given his name. It was Victor. And this angel would visit him 3 times a week to converse with him and to fill his soul with strength to continue his apostolate. And after all this, Ireland was changed forever. The faith had grown so strongly in the hearts of the people that century after century, persecution after persecution, no amount of violence or pressure could shake the faith of the Irish people. That is because St. Patrick embedded the faith in their souls so very well. The ways of God, whether they cause us pain, whether they cause us joy, they always work together unto good to them that love God. Just as our Lord, as God told Jeremiah the prophet, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee." So also we can learn that same lesson from the life of St. Patrick, that God, and this is said in his confessions, that God watches us before we ever even knew him. And secondly, that God watches us before we ever learned sense. And thirdly, that God watches us before we ever could distinguish between good and evil. Every pain, every heartache and joy and circumstance in this life, in your life, is planned out from all eternity by a loving, wise God who is always watching you. Yes, there will be suffering, but to suffer patiently is to imitate Christ in his passion. Cannot you, especially for these next 2 weeks of Passiontide, at least make the resolution to be more patient with the ways of the God who has always been so patient with you? May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.